Hard to believe that it's Sunday again. Boy, it just seemed like just was it yesterday we met here, but weeks go by very, very quickly. And a nice warm day outside today, and good to see everyone this morning. We're in the book of Colossians, so if you want to go ahead and get your Bible open, then we'll get there and turn to chapter number 2. Chapter number 2 is where we're going to pick up this morning in the book of Colossians. I'm trying to see how many verses. We're not going to go through the whole chapter this morning. We're only going to maybe go through about half of the chapter, but we are going to look at something that I think is very, very important, especially in the day and age that we live in, and discuss some things here that Paul is going to deal with, and something very, very helpful, I think, this morning. Let's do pray and ask for God's help and God's blessings upon all that we do today. And we need God's help, and that's what we should pray for this morning, and pray that God would work in our life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come to you asking, Lord, that you do work in our midst this morning, work in our life individually. Lord, we're all a needy people, and all of our needs are very different in different ways. But God, we know this morning that you can supply each and every need that is present. We pray that you'll do just that today. We do pray for the preaching of your word, and Lord, we pray that we once again will come with an open heart, an open mind to what you have in store for us today through the preaching of your word. We pray that, Lord, today will be a change in our life. We pray that we will learn, we'll grow, that we'll mature into the Christian that you would have us to be. We do pray for the needs of our church, that you would help in supply those. We pray for our missionaries, Lord, that you would help in supplying the needs that they have this morning. Lord, for the ministries, for the works, we pray for your blessing. We pray for your guide leading and directing and all that's said and done. We do pray for those that are present this morning that have prayer requests, that have needs. We pray that you would help in supplying those needs. We pray for those that are lost, that need to be saved. We pray, first of all, Lord, that you would help us to be bold in our witness, that you would, Lord, empower us, that we could be a good witness, a good testimony unto them, and that, Lord, this week would be the week of salvation for those that need to be saved. We pray, Lord, for our nation. We pray for revival. We pray for those that are sick. We pray for those that are maybe in the hospital, maybe those that are facing an illness or a surgery or recovering from surgery. We pray that you would bless in all those needs this morning as well. We pray now that you bless the next few moments as we focus a little bit on your word. We pray that you would bless in a special way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Colossians chapter number 2 this morning. We're going to jump right in. Paul is once again going to deal with a problem in a church. You're going to find here that in this chapter that Paul is going to confront one of the problems that they were having, and that was they had people that were not only in the church, but maybe even to some point even outside the church that were teaching and preaching false doctrine. Now, you know, I would think this morning that one of the greatest problems that we have in the Christian realm this morning would probably be, I think it's twofold. Number one, I think we have a problem in the day and age that we live in with false teaching or false doctrine. That is why this morning, as you drive through a community, you're going to find there are a lot of different churches with a lot of different ideas in every single town. Not only do I believe this morning that there's a big, big problem with false teaching and false doctrine, but then also I think there's another problem this morning that we don't talk much about, and that is no doctrine, no teaching. There are many churches that they really don't teach anything. And I'm amazed today that the day we live in, especially with all the technology that's available to everybody, it is amazing of how little of the Word of God that people know. I mean, people are just clueless to, and in many cases, simple doctrines that you would find present in the Word of God. Now, I understand, you know, a lost person's not going to know the Word of God, but I'm not talking about lost people. I'm talking about people that go to church faithfully. Maybe they go, and what is faithful anymore? Is it, you know, you classify what you think faithful may be, but I'm talking about church-going people that when it comes to the teaching and the knowledge of the Word of God, I mean, there's just nothing that exists there. And I don't know that it's their fault. Now, I kind of am a little reluctant in saying that because, you know, outside of a church and maybe their lack of teaching of principles and doctrines of the Word of God, Let's be honest. I mean, there's so many ways you can gain knowledge today. Now, I hate saying that as well because you can't believe everything you read on the internet. But I think that's I think our biggest problem in Christianity today is twofold. I think number one, it's false teaching, false doctrine that has been presented to people through churches, and then also I think there's too many churches that are not really teaching anything, and it's just become social clubs and just something you do for a few moments on a Sunday morning, and we feel like we've done God a favor. You know, even being here this morning, we're not doing God a favor by being here this morning. But our world is full of false teachers. I think this morning, as we were driving to church, if I'm not mistaken, within a block or two of the main highway, I think I passed five churches coming here this morning. I'm sure you could set, if you just kind of sit down and think as you drive to church, how many churches do you pass just to get to the church you go to? And all of them are very different in so many ways. That's why, because of false teaching, because of false prophets, because of false doctrine, that's why you have so many different churches in the day and age that we live in. I've had people ask before. That are maybe lost, and the question sometimes they will have is, why are there so many different churches? And then the next question is going to be, then how do I know you go to the right church? Now, I think we're smart enough this morning and grounded in the truth enough to know this morning, the way you know who the right church is through the Word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. And by the way, they never contradict one another. The Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God are never going to be at odds at each other. They'll always be aligned. Okay? So then you go back to the fact, okay, well, if you take a lost person, they don't know the Word of God. And let's say they just get saved and they have no knowledge, biblical, scriptural knowledge. And that's where it becomes very, very critical in a person's life that you do go to a doctrinal church that believes the Word of God is the Word of God and practices the Word of God and teaches and preaches the Word of God. But boy, I mean, you take the, we could just debate this morning different churches. I passed, I think, maybe five this morning on the way here within a block of Highway 41. And all of them, I'm sure, have a little different take or a different teaching on salvation. You take churches today, I mean, you have some churches that believe that you are to be sprinkled, which we don't believe that this morning. There are some that believe that it's by your good works that you go to heaven. We don't believe that this morning. You have another church that maybe believes that you have to be baptized in their church in order to go to heaven. We don't believe that this morning. Some believe you have to be a member of their church in order to go to heaven. We do not believe that this morning. I mentioned last Sunday that a lot of people making this comment about salvation, how you have to go out and just work it out yourself. Very misleading and can be very damning there as well. You don't save yourself this morning. Only Jesus Christ can save you. So with all that being said, as we're going to find here in chapter number 2, Paul is confronting here a lot of the issues of his day that were very misleading to the people of God. In fact, there were many in the church that had strayed away in the false teachings of others. And it was a large enough problem that Paul felt it very necessary to confront this, because Paul didn't want anybody to go astray. Paul wanted everybody to know salvation and to be a child of God and live for God and the benefits and the blessings of serving God. And that was Paul's goal. Now, false teaching and false teachers is a real threat even in the day and age that we live in. Very concerned about some people and even people that I know of that go to the different type of churches and knowing what they teach. Boy, you're just really, really questionable about, I mean, what are you learning there? Many of the things that they're learning is totally contrary to the teaching of the Word of God. That's why it's important this morning, especially in the day and age that we live in, you better know the Word of God. You better know what the Bible says.
You better know what God expects and what God gives you through the Word of God. You need to have a good understanding of the Word of God. Now, none of us have arrived. I mean, we're all still in a learning process. But boy, you better get a lot of the basic principles down of the Word of God, or you'll be misled and led astray as well. Well, it never happened to me. It's happened to a lot of good people. You better know what the Word of God says. And get away from all this garbage nowadays. Well, I just know how I feel inside. Well, I've got news for you. My feelings aren't always in line with the Word of God. Feelings can mislead you. I can remember years ago I had a lady that I was debating with her a little bit about some different things of the Word of God and some things that she had come from a very charismatic background and so forth and had a lot of distorted views when it came to the Word of God, and we were debating, and I was showing her some things from the Word of God, and she got very aggravated with me, and she said, well, you know, I know that's what it says, but I know how I feel. Well, your feelings can be very wrong. So be very careful that we don't get all sidetracked on feelings. We need to have a knowledge and an understanding of the Word of God. For instance, today, that's why most churches, this modern age movement of churches, they don't call it Sunday school anymore. Because school will turn people off. The word school, it makes people nervous. You're kind of shunning people because they don't want to feel like they have to go back to school. Well, you know, does Sunday school offend you guys? Are y'all offended because we call it Sunday school? You see, here's where we're at. People don't want to learn anymore. People don't want to know. And I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of people that don't want to know the principles of the Word of God because they know that their lifestyle's not going to line up with it, and they're not willing to change anything. So therefore, they will shun and they will shy away, I guess I should say, of the teaching of the Word of God. But anyway, all that being said, we come to chapter 2. Paul now is addressing a lot of different ideas, false doctrine, false teaching, false prophets, false teachers that had trying to draw the people of God away from the church unto their belief system, if you would. Now, you'll find in verse 1, 2, and 3 here, I'm going to skip down. I'm going to go down to verse 4 because here's where he starts talking about the different dangers that they were facing at that day and age. He said in verse number 4, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." Paul is warning them not to be fooled. Don't allow them to fool you. Now, I'm going to tell you real quickly this morning, you better be careful in the day and age that we live in, because there's a lot of knotheads out there that are trying to fool you into believing something that's not doctrinal. And just because it has a name of a church on a sign, I don't believe necessarily they are a church. You see, there's a lot of people in our community that call themselves a church, and they're a far cry from being what a local New Testament Bible-believing church ought to be. So don't be misled and think, well, you know, they call themselves such and such church. Well, that really doesn't mean anything. And Paul is warning them to basically, hey, don't be fooled by these people here. Paul warned them about being beguiled. And he says here, and they're going to use enticing words. They're going to make it sound really good. They're going to make it out to be something really grand. They're going to make you think and maybe even second guess what you have always believed. They're going to use enticing words, and they're going to have to use enticing words to try to lure you astray because they understand that that's the only way. It's basically they're going to have to fool you into believing something that's not really true. And in Paul's day, there was a lot of it. A lot of, and even in as I was reading through some of the things they were teaching and preaching, and we'll get into a little bit of it this morning, I'm thinking, you know, that's some crazy, wild ideas. But, you know, I'm kind of amazed at what churches are doing this morning. I mean, do you really understand what churches are doing nowadays to try to draw big crowds? And by the way, I'm all for big crowds. I wish there was 5,000. I wish it was so bad this morning that we had to turn people away at the door, or you'll just have to stand outside and we'll put a speaker system out there. And I'm all for that, but you got to make sure it's all doctrinally correct. And Paul says here in verse number 4, he says, "In this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." Now, the word beguiled here means to be misled by deception. It means they are trying to mislead you by deceiving you. And by the way, it's not a new problem. This actually began all the way back in the Garden of Eden. When I read some of these words, it makes me automatically think of Adam and Eve and the serpent and the deception that was taking place there and so forth. And you know, the principles are still the same. And there's going to be people and false teachers that are going to try to beguile you with enticing words. They're trying to entice you to come to their side or to come to their church or to maybe come over to the way they believe. And they're going to try to steer you in that direction. Now, they're going to have to deceive you, and they're going to have to beguile you to get you to go in that direction. So, and we have to understand this morning, there's no one in this room that is above this morning. We're all subject to it. You know, it's amazing today, false teachers will often pray. You know, here's what's so sad today. Most churches are going to try to build their church on other church members. Are you with me this morning? You see, a lot of false teachers, and even in Paul's day, and it's still very prevalent today, often prey on members who are already a member of a good church. Let me give you a very I should have looked it up and had some actual numbers and stats, but you would be amazed this morning on churches that are growing or not growing through the baptismal waters. Most churches and their growth today is all by a transfer of letter. Now, I'm not saying if one person were to leave one particular church and feel like God would have them join in with another church, I'm not saying that's wrong this morning. I am saying this morning what is wrong is when churches get away from the fact that we are to reach the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ, get them saved, get them baptized, and get them in the church. And not everybody that transfers their membership to another church is bad, and not all churches are bad by accepting people to buy transfer of letter, but I am saying this morning there are way too many churches building their membership on other church members of other churches. We've gotten away. The Great Commission. Does anybody know what is the Great Commission? Tell me, what is it? It's what? I'm sorry. Go into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel. Right? Now, the purpose and the philosophy behind that is you go out, you preach the word of God, you tell them how to be saved. They trust Christ as their Savior. The next step of obedience we often will refer to is baptism. You get baptized, and then you need to become a member of the church and get involved in the church. You need to start growing and be faithful and all those kind of steps. I don't find anywhere in the Bible where God tells me to go out into everybody else's church and try to get them to come over to my church. Right? And sometimes, and I'm getting off track, Brother Richardson, but boy, I used to get very perturbed sometimes. I'd get a letter in the mail, in the mailbox, and you go out there, and it'd be from another church and so forth, and I'd open it up, and they're asking for a transfer of letter of somebody I've never heard of. And what was so aggravating, we had a church membership book and so forth, and it was, I don't know, it's pretty thick, and you got to dig weight. I mean, you got to go back through that thing and look and look and look and look. And finally, you find their name there, and you thought, I don't even know where they live. I don't even know who it is. Then I decided one day, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm not going to grant any letter to anybody that I don't know about and not going to be faithful to this church. I'm not going to recommend them to another church. Ooh, you're talking about setting off a firestorm. Man, that was about one of the dumbest things I've ever done. And I was amazed. It really didn't bother the individual. It bothered the other preacher. I had one preacher comment. He said, "What do you mean you won't grant a letter of recommendation? Are we not good enough?" I said, "Well, number one, I don't know anything about you. I don't know anything about your church. So I'm not going to say you are good or you are bad. I don't know you. But you're asking me to recommend someone who is evidently a member of our church that evidently lived in our community, and they've never stepped foot in the door of the church. I'm not recommending them for anything." But anyway, how I got off on that, I don't know. Yes. They use enticing words. These are not dumb people. In fact, you often find false teachers and false doctrine teachers, if you would, they use enticing words. They're pretty good with their words. It's interesting here that, let's go back. Verse number 4, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." Verse 5, 6, and 7 is basically Paul telling you how you have a good defense against these false teachers. How that you withstand the enticing words. How you withstand the attraction maybe to go off in this direction of these false doctrine and false teachers and so forth. And how it's a defense of where you don't get kind of sucked into that kind of a belief and that kind of an idea. Because nobody's above that. Paul gives us he gives us principles here of how you, your defense against these false teachers. He says in verse number 5, I'm going to go to the end of the verse there, and he says, "And the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." He says one of the ways that your best defense is going to be about three or four points here, but he says you got to be steadfast. Steadfast in your faith. Now, steadfast, I was doing a little bit of a word search this morning, is actually a military term. The word steadfast means that there is no breach in the ranks. So we find here that if you're going to be one that lasts, the one that stays, the one that is going to still be there in another year or 2 years or 5 years or however many years you want to put on it, and how you're going to withstand these enticing words from these false teachers is, number one, you've got to be steadfast in your faith. You'll find in verse number 6, he says, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." So another defense you have is you better stay close to Jesus and walk in him. Now, the word "walk" there is an interesting word. You need to underline the word "walk." It means the way you live, your lifestyle, the way you conduct yourself. You do that through Jesus Christ. You serve him. You live for him. You stay steadfast in your faith. You stay close to him. You walk with him in your lifestyle and how you live. I think my battery went out there. That's fine. But anyway, you stay close to him. Now, we could sit and debate this morning on how you're going to do that, and there's a lot of principles that we can apply in our life to keep us steadfast, to stay close to Jesus Christ. Now, I promise you this, laying out of church isn't going to help you any. Isn't it amazing? When people start to get to where they're not very faithful, sooner or later they either fall off a cliff somewhere or they become prey to some other false doctrine somewhere. You'll find he also mentions in verse number 7, rooted and built up in him. You need to stay rooted in Jesus Christ. You need to stay built up in Christ, he says in verse number 7. And then he says, as you have been taught according therein, abounding therein with thanksgiving. You are to abound in Christ. You are to stay steadfast in Christ. You are to be rooted in Christ. I think you get the idea in verse number 5, 6, and 7 that it all comes down, you better stay close to Jesus Christ, because he's the one that'll keep you on the right path. Rooted in Jesus. By the way, going to Sunday school, I hope that doesn't offend you, going to church is not a waste of your time. Well, I just don't know if I'm going to get anything out of it. Well, there's a lot of things we could say about that. First thing I would ask is, well, what are you putting into it? What do you mean? It ain't for me to put, I don't put anything in it. I go there to get. And often we are maybe empty a lot of times in our life because we never put anything into it. But I promise you, you going to church, whether it be Sunday school, revival, whether it be a missions conference night or a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning, whatever the case may be, you're never wasting your time by going to the house of God. I've always worried about those that don't go to the house of God. I've often wondered, how in the world can you be comfortable at work around a bunch of heathen, but you can't go to the house of God and be comfortable with the people of God? Something bad wrong there. He says in verse number 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men. And I'll stop right there. We'll kind of look at the first half of the verse here real quickly. Paul also says, you better beware or you'll be spoiled. Say, what do you mean, Paul? I mean, what do you mean I need to beware? I mean, I'm faithful to church. I'm there all the time. I'm involved. I do all that I can. But listen to me, you're still a prime target. Doesn't matter how faithful you are, doesn't matter how long you've gone there, doesn't matter how much you're involved in, you are still a target of the enemy. You have to be careful. He says here, beware in verse number 8. Now, the word beware means to watch out for. The word beware, I looked it up this morning, it means to notice, to be careful, to watch out for. It means you better keep your eyes open. If you'll just open up your eyes to everything going on in this world, you would be amazed at how naive a lot of so-called Christian people really are. I mean, there's some people that believe some really way far out things. I was talking with someone just the other day, and they were discussing a little bit about another person that was a very religious person, and They believe that these hurricanes and so forth that are hitting our country, the government's making the ocean do all that. And it's something to do with how God is lining up this and that. And I'm not saying that God maybe doesn't send the hurricanes and so forth and all that. But boy, you'd be amazed that people have a lot of really strange, wild ideas. I don't know what made the hurricane hit, but I just know this. It just I can look at it and tell that's a hurricane hitting here. But boy, you'd be amazed this morning at what people are even teaching in religion. You'd be amazed this morning of what some people are getting in pulpits and saying that God's led them, God's given them a new revelation. Listen to me, there are new revelations. The only revelation you need to worry about is the one you're holding in your lap right now. Well, you know, God gave me a vision last night. No, that was the pizza you ate before you went to sleep last night. Well, God spoke to me last night through a dream, and God is... And I'm not saying that God doesn't speak to people. I'm not saying that this morning. But when they start saying God is revealed and God has given them a dream and it's different than the Word of God, that's a false teacher, dear friend. Listen to me. I go back to this statement. The Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God are always going to be right in line. They're never going to contradict one or the other. Yeah, you ever had people say, well, the Spirit led me to do blah, 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 blah. And what they claim they're led to do is contrary to the Word of God. Let me see. It was a spirit that led you, but it wasn't the Holy Spirit. Because the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God will always be in line with one another. He says in verse number 8, let me get back to where I'm at, beware lest any man spoil you. How are they going to do that? Through, and by the way, the word spoil there doesn't mean that it's going to make it rotten. The word spoil is basically talking about you. You're the spoil. You ever heard somebody make the comment, the spoils of war? Sometimes when armies would invade a city and they would destroy that city, they would keep out the valuables of that city and take it with them. It might be gold and silver and valuable possessions, and they would keep that as a spoil of war. Now, the spoil of war are those possessions that they would keep and take with them. As we find here in this verse here, the any man spoil you, you're the one that can be spoiled. You're the one that can become tragedy of war, if you would. And how are they going to do that? Through philosophy and vain deceit here. After the tradition of men. That little phrase, tradition of men, but we could park right there and talk a long time. There's a lot of things happening in our day and age because it's the tradition of man, not the tradition of God. Be careful that you're not following the traditions of man, because we are to be following after the traditions of Christ, the traditions of the Word of God. Traditions of man mislead a lot of people. It's amazing. Have you ever asked somebody why they go to church and why they go to the church they go to? You'd be amazed sometimes. Just ask sometimes. Find somebody you know, maybe at work or a friend, and you find they go to church somewhere. Just ask them, why you go to church? I'm just curious to know why you go. I mean, you'll get strange answers. Some people this morning are going to church because their grandma and their grandfather are buried out in the cemetery. Now, I'm not saying, it's anything wrong with going to church where maybe your family grew up. I think that's actually a good thing, as long as it's a Bible church. There are going to be some people, they're going to go to church, at a particular church, because that's the church to go to. That's what we call the in church. You know what I'm talking about? That's where all the important people go. If you're not careful, all the important people in this world lead you straight into hell too, if you're not careful. You ought to go to church where you go to church because you know that is a scriptural church that lines up with the Word of God, and that's where God would have you go. Am I right? Now, if the church doesn't line up with the Word of God, I promise you, God's not leading you there. You see, I passed, what did I say, I think 5 churches on the way to church here. I know for a fact there are a few of them right there. Scripturally, they're not right, and I don't even classify them as a church. I don't care what the sign says. It's not a scriptural church. It's not a Bible church. So I could never say, well, God's led me to go down to this church down here. There's no way God's going to lead me there. They don't teach the principles of the Word of God. They don't even believe half the Word of God. Paul's warning them, you better be very, very careful. You'll find it, we began in verse number 4, where he said, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you. He says in verse number 8, beware lest any man spoil you. You see that? There's a beguiling that can take place, and there's a spoiling that can take place. And Paul says, you better be careful of all of them. People say, how do I know which one is right? You know which one is right by the Word of God and the Spirit of God. You know, let's be honest. We take the Bible away this morning, we don't have anything left. You have nothing. That's why about 90% of the so-called churches out there, I could never go to them. And the reason is, number one, they took the Word of God out. I got into a little bit of a debate with a guy just the other day, and we were talking, and he was asking me a question, a Bible question, and he said, and that's King James. And I said, let's stop right there a little bit. I said, he goes to a Jehovah's Witness. He was a Jehovah's Witness. I said, do y'all use King James Bible only? He said, no, we don't use it only. We refer to it. And he began to talk, and then we got in a little bit of a debate about the Word of God. And I said, then which one's the Word of God? Well, they're all the Word of God. I said, so you're telling me the NIV, the KJV, and we went through all these different Bibles and so on, they're all the Word of God. Yes, they're all the Word of God. I said, well, how can you say that when they don't all say the same thing? He said, well, they, you know...
they refer to one another. And we got off on some, and where he came up with some of these wild ideas about how this one refers to this one refers to that one, and it all comes down to the end, they're all the same thing. And I said, there's no way they can be the same thing when they don't say the same thing. I said, if we get out on the highway and the speed limit sign says 55 miles per hour, is that really it? Or did it refer to another speed zone some time ago? Maybe it used to be 45, now they made it 55, and then later it was 35, now it's back to 55. But so what is it, 35, 45, or 55? Listen to me, a lot of strange things happening in our world today. And I'll be honest with you, it's very, very sad of how confused people are when it comes to, and I don't even like to use the term religion, but there's a lot of strange things happening in our land. And then it all comes back to the teaching or lack of. I guess what's bad is we've got to the point where people don't want to teach the Word of God anymore. Most churches kind of conceded, well, people don't really care anything about the Word of God anymore. And if we get to the point where we don't care about the Word of God anymore, it's over with. I mean, churches are, you know, gotten to where they don't have midweek services anymore. Now churches cut out midweek and they cut out Sunday night. And the philosophy behind that is, well, it's just a lack of interest. And boy, when we make those kind of statements, we're kind of revealing of how shallow we are. And Paul is saying here in verse number 4, he said, be careful about those that beguile you. How are they going to do that? They're going to use enticing words. They're going to be very well spoken. It's going to sound good. In fact, your carnal, fleshly mind may even think, you know, that's kind of, you know, I can kind of see that. And what are they doing? They are beguiling you. They're fooling you. They are deceiving you. They're going to try to pull you down to their way of thinking, their way of believing, down the path they've chosen in life. The problem with that is they think wrong, they are wrong, and they're headed to the wrong place. We get down to verse number 8, he says, beware, look out, be careful, watch for, he says, lest any man spoil you. How are they going to do that? Through philosophy and vain deceit. Paul even tells you exactly how they're going to do it. Listen, you be very, very careful this morning, though, that you don't get the idea. It'll never happen to me. There is a pastor of a church in Arkansas. Well, he's in, not Little Rock, Hot Springs, Arkansas. When he was a younger guy, very, very energetic, outgoing, preached a lot of youth conferences. I mean, had just very, very, very talented. Very conservative guy, had a good church going and so forth, but it never was big enough. He got to the point where he was wanting more than maybe what God was going to allow him to have. So what does he do? He changes. He even had a Bible college. You see, it can happen not only to me and you, it can happen to a pastor. It can happen to an evangelist. It can happen to a missionary. It can happen to anybody. So never ever say, it'll never happen to me. Because it was happening. It was happening to several people. Paul even addresses it here. And he makes sure they understand. He says they're going to try to beguile you in verse number 4. They're going to try to spoil you in verse number 8. He tells you how they're going to do that. He also talks about the traditions of men. He goes on at the last little phrase of verse number 8. And not after Christ. That's the whole problem. Because when you start getting away from Christ, you lose it all. Because it's all about Him. I'm going to skip a little bit. I'm taking too much time there. Let me go down. He mentions verse number 12. He speaks about baptism. And let me make just reference here real quickly. Paul does not say in verse number 12 that baptism saves anybody. Baptism never has saved anybody. Baptism is a picture, he says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Talking about baptism. What is baptism? Baptism is a picture of what Jesus Christ has done inside of you. That's what baptism is. Baptism doesn't save you this morning. It's just a picture of what God has done inside of you. Baptism is an association. I associate with what Christ has done in my life. I'll often make reference a little bit about baptism. I wear a wedding band. This ring does not make me married, but is a picture that I am married. If you see a wedding ring on somebody, a lady's finger, you think they're married. If you see a wedding ring on a man, it is a symbol that he is a married individual. Doesn't make them married. It's just a picture of what took place some time back in life. They chose to get married. See, we're out of time here. Let me move real quickly. You'll find in verse number 13 that Jesus he's the one that makes you alive. You're alive in Christ. He's the one that gives you life through Christ. Verse 14, you'll find that talking about Christ has paid for our sin debt. Jesus has taken care of our debt, of sin, and Christ has paid for that. You'll find out in verse number 16 that some thought that believers had to observe the law of Moses in order to be saved. That was something they battled often in the New Testament. Some were still holding on to the law, Paul makes reference and discusses that and makes sure that people understood the law doesn't save you. Listen, the law never has saved anybody. The law basically showed you needed a Savior. And it never was given to save. It was basically the law revealed that you needed a Savior. The law was a picture of the coming of Jesus Christ. And I don't have a lot of time to get off into that. But we're out of time. We'll stop right here and we'll pick up next week. But here's what I want us to leave with this morning. You better know the Word of God. That's why we ought to study it, read it, learn it, memorize it, grow, mature, all those things. Why? Because even as and by the way, this world's not getting better. I mean, if you believe that, you know, you need to go see somebody give you some help with your mind. You're out of your mind. Let's be honest, the day's getting darker and darker. It's getting worse and worse, and we need to know the Word of God. And don't ever think, well, it can never happen to me, because it's happened to a lot of good people. They fell for the enticing words. They became spoiled. They didn't beware. They didn't look out. They didn't watch out. They didn't make sure that you know, that person or that church or that organization lines up with the Word of God, and the Spirit of God and the Word of God were completely in line. A lot of people can be very much misled in life. May that not happen to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We pray that you bless the preaching this morning. And Lord, may you work in our life. And Lord, may you give us what we need this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.